Father Jonathan Morris, he was scheduled to speak today. He had a medical emergency early in the week and cannot join us. We're happy to report that Father Morris is out of the hospital. He's recuperating at home, and we wish him a speedy recovery. Pinch hitting for Father Morris is right-handed batter and power hitter, Father Stosh Daly, administrator of Holy Family Parish since July 2013. Father Daly is also spiritual director of Sacred Heart Columbus and Sacred Heart Enthronement Network, and he's had the privilege to assist over 300 households in the Columbus area in their own enthronement of the Sacred Heart. Father Daly also serves as a consultor, confessor, and retreat director for several men's and women's religious congregations, and I'm completely unbiased about Father Daly, even though he baptized our little adopted son. Please welcome Father Stosh Daly.
Thank you. Let me first begin by offering my sincere hopes and prayers for the recovery for Father Jonathan Morris. Many, many years ago, he and I were briefly in the same community, albeit I was in formation, and I remember running into him at our formation house in Connecticut, and he said, "You've got spunk. You've got spunk. The Lord's going to use that." Now, almost 30 years later, we find that I'm using it by replacing him on the stage in my own diocese. But I invite you to join me in prayer as we consecrate these next 25, 30 minutes to the Lord, asking our Almighty God and Father to send once again His Spirit down upon us, to open our minds, to open our hearts, to send forth the grace that is needed to purify our flesh. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, take away scandals from your kingdom, which is my soul, and reign there. You who alone have the right, for greediness comes to claim a throne within me. Haughtiness and self-assertion would rule over me. Pride would be my king. Lust says, "I will reign." Ambition, detraction, envy, and anger struggle within me for the mastery. I resist as far as I am able. I struggle according as help is given me. I call on you, my Lord, Jesus the Christ. For his sake I defend myself, since I acknowledge myself as wholly his possession. He is my God. Him I proclaim my Lord. I have no other king than my Lord Jesus Christ. Come then, O Lord, and disperse these enemies by your power, and you shall reign in me, for you are my King and my God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever we enter into something like today, it's always good for us to call to mind and be attentive to what's going on in the world, not just in this moment in time, but also on this day. Yesterday, in a conversation pertaining to this event, I was speaking with a woman who's a dear friend. She and her husband are fantastic coordinators and promoters of adoration, Mary Beth Hinger. And she informed me of this freakish and diabolical event which was scheduled to take place last night at midnight. witches all over our country uniting together to put a curse, a hex, a spell on our president. Are you serious? This is what's going on in today's world? We Catholics have been relegated to the sidelines because we are weak and lame and quiet. And now witches are actually taking the headlines. That's pathetic. But it's diabolical in origin. After hanging up the phone, I said, I gotta make a phone call. So I called this lady who lives in my part of the city down in Franklinton, who is straight up self-identified pagan. Called her and said, do you know anything about this? Yeah, Father, we're all going to get together. We're going to unite our spiritual powers. We're going to call down the forces of evil, remove them, and put in powers of good. I was like, have you seen the weather report lately? Do you know what's coming our way? Nothing's going to stand in our way. Nothing. 1:30 in the morning comes. I get a phone call from my friendly neighborhood pagan. Did you have anything to do with that rain last night? I said, no, but my boss did. And he doesn't like what you're doing. Knock it off. Realize there is one Lord, the living God, and it's Jesus Christ, and you're far from him. And it's time to reawaken the emptiness within your soul and come back to the Lord. People know this neighborhood not because of a coven, but because of Holy Family Church. Not because it's brick and mortar, but because the living God lives there. And he's not going to be outdone by superstitious, lame practices like calling down a coven and throwing a hex, a curse, a spell. You live in the age of Jesus Christ. Your time is over. Realize it and convert. I'm going to bed. I got to talk in a few hours to 3,000 men. And I have no idea what I'm going to say because I'm pinch hitting for a priest who's sick in New York. Let's turn to Genesis. Something very important to keep in mind as we journey through the adventure of life as Christians. We are confronted by much and great darkness. But there is hope for those who believe. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Even the rain, it was very good. The weather that blesses us, the weather that hinders us, it is very good. We gather together today here in this conference, and we acknowledge that there is a war going on right now. And only those who are strong will survive. Only those who turn to the Lord Jesus Christ will make it. There will be many who fall to the side. But the Lord saw all of creation and said, it is very good. Knowing there would be sin and darkness. Knowing there would be those who would betray him, detract from him, turn against him. But he still said, it was very good. So when we are in the midst of darkness and overwhelmed by everything going on in the world around us, remember, God looks, he saw, and said, it is very good. And we are called to take in that goodness. We are called to admit God loves here and now. He loves you. He loves the man sitting on either side of you, in the front of you, in the back behind you. God loves. And you have to allow his love for you to become the convicting force that drives your life. And that love has to lead you to a dependence upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You have to be convicted, no longer lame. You have to drive, no longer be driven. You have to go rather than be pushed, whether that is to the experience of the Mass, to adoring the Lord in the Holy Eucharist in adoration, to opening up the Holy Bible, to spending time with your loved ones, your friends, your wives, your children, your parents, reaching out to your parish priest, saying, I need help now. The office might have closed at 5, but your life is still going on. I need help now. Every single man who knows, loves, and serves Jesus Christ is called by the Lord himself to enter into this moment in time, to fill the breach, to participate in this war, this battle, to consecrate all of who you are to him. Enter into John's gospel. Personally speaking, one of my favorites, if not the one for me to meditate upon. The very first few words, chapter 1, verse 1. Hear those words. Powerful in their eloquence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Simple, succinct, like most of us wish every homily would be that we ever listen to. Simple and succinct. Teaching religion periodically in some of the high schools, I would always draw our students up and say, what is the most powerful word in that verse? Naturally, they orient towards God. No. Time, beginning, no. It's the most insignificant word in English. With. The Word was with God. There was an intimacy there, a life, a love. They weren't merely around one another, they were with one another. We are called to not just be around God, but with God. If you are not with him, you are against him. And if he is not with us, the whole world is against us, and we become small. But in being with God, like the Word was, there is life. There's intimacy, there's hope, there's a plan. There's never an end, never a conclusion, always a new horizon. Jump ahead to John 3:16. Now we all know this because we're used to seeing those huge signs that annoying fans hold up in front of us when we've paid $150 for a ticket just to look at the back of a placard that says JN 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's what everyone remembers. That's what everyone thinks. But that's not all that is said. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. He gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus Christ has been given to us, not offered, given. So in every moment of every day, when we meet the Lord, he's been given to us by the Father. If we choose not to walk with him, that is not his fault. He's done all that he has to do. He was sent by the Father. He was given, not offered. But he was given to us so that we may have life. So we may have that intimacy that the Son and the Father had in the beginning. We are thought of constantly, remembered by the Lord while dying on the cross. No one here has been forgotten. No one here is an accident. Regardless of your beginning, regardless of your childhood, you are not an accident. God created you. He sustains you. He has called you to himself. He wants to give you life, and he wants to make you in his own image, over and over and over and over again, strengthening you from within by placing deep within you a heart that is real, no longer of stone, no longer cold, but one that is of flesh, one that radiates warmth, one that speaks, converts, conquers, and wins. This life that God gives to us, this life that the Son brings to us, this life is what we receive in the Eucharist. John chapter 6, the Lord says over and over again, you want life within you, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Over and over and over again, Jesus tells us, now you must go into the world. Each one of you has a mission, but each one of your missions will vary and differ from the mission to the guy next to you. I am right now mission to a parish. My brother priest, they are mission to their parishes and schools and hospitals. You, your mission to your families, to your places of work, to your children, to your coworkers, your neighbors, to every single stranger you meet day in and day out, that individual is your mission field. And if they see in you a cold, stony heart, if they do not see purpose and conviction, one has to say, where is your faith? Where's your reason for life? What prompts you to get up in the morning? Day in and day out in the confessional, I encounter hundreds and hundreds of individuals, like my brother priest do, who commit their sins because they don't have conviction. They don't have a taste for holiness. They don't know the Lord. They haven't encountered him. They've heard about him. They studied about him. They read a few things about him, but they do not know him. And yet they receive him. In a few short hours, our bishop will consecrate and make present in what looks to just be bread and wine, the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. For those of you in a state of grace, you're going to come forward and receive him in Holy Communion. Make sure your reception of the Lord is an encounter and not a confrontation. Receive the Lord and know who you receive and allow him to fill you to the brim with life and love and holiness and allow that to become the conviction which drives you. 8 years now I've been working with countless numbers of households and individuals, businesses and schools, people admitting the emptiness within. Father, I need to be forgiven. Yes, you do. I need to be fulfilled. Yes, you do. I need the Lord. Yes, you do. Well, how do I come to know him? Accept the invitation. Draw close to the Lord in your church. Spend time before him in the tabernacle. Bring him into your home. Make him the center of your life. Make the presence of Jesus Christ more important to your family than that God-forsaken TV or the phone that you can't function 5 minutes without. You don't think that phone is important to you? Think about how panicked you get when you lose it. You can't remember it. You don't think you do anything bad on it? What do you feel when someone takes it from you and starts looking at what you've been looking at? Reading your text messages, going through your emails, looking at your photos. Our idols have gotten in the way of the prominence that Jesus Christ is supposed to play in our lives. We seek to be forgiven, and his mercy endures forever. We allow his mercy to restore us from within. But oftentimes we do not accept his heart as our own. We do not allow the Lord's presence in our homes, but we expect his presence in the church. But if we take for granted the desire of the Lord to be present in our homes, we are one step away from not caring if the Holy Mass is not offered in our church. We are one step away from not realizing when our Lord's presence is removed from the tabernacle. We are one step away from allowing the cultures of this world, the powers of darkness, to destroy the opportunities we have to meet the Lord. Today, here and now, we have been instructed in the ways of faith. We've heard from the deacon who told us bluntly and on the line what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. He gave us all the tools and he challenged us. Now we have to understand that in order to rise up to that challenge, we have to admit who we are, what we've done, seek to be forgiven, allow ourselves to be restored, and always admit our dependence upon Jesus Christ. Admitting we need the Lord in our hearts. And when we bring the Lord close, he restores our masculinity. That's the new cuss word of today's world, masculinity. People are allowed to say every other word on TV, but God help you if you say anything that relates to being a masculine man. You're a bigot. You're charged with racism and sexism. You're confused. You're archaic, old-fashioned. Masculinity is a gift given by God, meant for us to what? Not only express dominion, but also to protect creation, to exalt our complement, the feminine person, and to see in the beauty of femininity the responsibility and privileges of our masculinity. In order to know who we are, though, we have to stay close to the one who reveals us to ourselves, Jesus. It is important for each one of us to make sure we do not leave him in the home when we go off to work. We cannot leave him in the church when we go back to home. We cannot leave him in the tabernacle once we've received him. Every moment of every day has to be a lived encounter with the Lord. We draw close to the saving waters of forgiveness, which he gushes out upon us. We cannot be afraid to admit our failures, our faults, our weaknesses. We cannot be afraid to build bonds of relationship. We can't be afraid to set off and encounter the mystery of the woman who is our path to holiness. We can't be afraid to challenge our children to be something greater by becoming one with the Lord. We can't be afraid to call our neighbor under the carpet when they take the Lord's name in vain. And we can't be afraid of our own sins, allowing ourselves to be forgiven, but then also to become instruments of mercy, to highlight for those that the true transformative power in today's world is love. It's love, not tolerance. Nowhere in here does Jesus Christ say, tolerate your neighbor. He doesn't say, tolerate your enemy. He doesn't say, tolerate. He goes way above and beyond and he says, love. What does that mean? Die. Die to self. Die to yourself so that your wife may live. Die to yourself, especially in timing, so that your children will see you. Die to yourself when there's so many other things to do, and you hear the voice of the Lord saying, come away and spend time with me. Die to yourself when your parents are ill, and there's everything else that has to be done, but you know your father and mother are in need. Die to yourself, and thus express mercy to those around you. We commend ourselves in this moment to the power of the Blessed Virgin Mother, because we know that whenever we strive to remain faithful to Jesus Christ, her Son, it's going to take a lot of help. It's going to take a lot of prayers, a lot of intercession. So together, as we prepare to bring this morning session to a close, let us not be afraid to acknowledge there is one woman in our lives who has already taken us to herself even before we met her. Even before we heard of her, she made us her own. Acknowledging our sins, taking full advantage of the opportunity to be forgiven, allowing the Lord to open our eyes to see the world before us, admitting the warfare that's going on around us, calling out the nonsense for what it is, who they are, and what they seek to do. Let us admit creation is good. Life is good. We are called to be good, but we were also made for more. Let us turn to the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us desire to have a refuge in his heart. Let us seek a place of rest, of refuge in the side of the Lord. And if we want a dwelling within Christ for all eternity, bring Christ into your dwelling that is your home. Consecrate you, your loved ones, and all of who you are and all that you hope to do. Give all of that over to the Lord. Bring his heart into your home. Bring his heart into your own body and allow the Lord to be the driving force in your life and in your faith. Let us consecrate this moment and in the moments to come, in the days we are to live, to the intercession of our Holy Queen and Virgin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Together, having been baptized in one Spirit, let us pray in one voice. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us. And after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy the promises of Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and stay strong. Watch out for each other's back, and don't give in to the dark forces around us. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever.
Thank you, Father. That's some pretty good pinch hitting there. And now, please be seated. Now, to help us prepare for the Sacrament of Reconciliation is the Spiritual Director of the Catholic Men's Ministry, Father Jonathan Wilson. Father Wilson has served as parochial vicar at St. Mary in Lancaster and in the Perry County Consortium of Catholic Churches. And in July 2008, he was appointed pastor of Blessed Sacrament Parish in Newark, Ohio, where he currently serves. Please welcome Father Jonathan Wilson.
All right, thank you, guys. I appreciate that. I feel the love. This is a replica of medieval chain mail. I saw my friend Bob Tatz walking in with it. It feels like it's about 20 pounds. If I did more lifting, I could probably carry it the whole talk. I'm not going to be able to do that. But we're going to talk about this into the breach, all of us. And we're going to talk today about preparing for confession. We might say repairing the chinks in our armor, the holes in the chain mail, so that as we go out from here in battle, we are fully armed, we have our defenses up, and we are prepared to engage the battle that rages around us. But first, we must look within and take that battle within. And now I've exceeded my ability to hold this. My friend Drew is a professional strength trainer, so I need to call him and ask him for more help here. I do want to start today, though, and as I walked up, my dad, Chuck Wilson, who leads this ministry, said, 15 minutes. So you get it from home, too. All right, got my clock. I want to start by honoring my friend, Father Jonathan Morris, who was unable to be here due to an unexpected medical emergency on Monday. He spent most of the week in the hospital. He's home now. He felt terrible that he could not be here, and I was very edified by the fact that he still was wanting to come even as he was in the hospital throughout the week. And I want to give just a brief testimony to the influence of a friend, a brother in Christ. Because all of you, as you make that yes, it's not just for you, it's also for the other men who need your yes. When I was a senior in high school at St. Charles and was visiting Franciscan University of Steubenville in a freshman honors class, Father Jonathan, the future Father Jonathan Morris, was a freshman in that class. He met me, greeted me, he was kind to me. And his example, as I learned that he had given up going to a very big name school with a lot of prestige to choose Franciscan University, was the nudge I needed after 4 years of St. Charles, getting good grades, sports, activities, etc., with the goal of being in the most prestigious college I could attend. In a way, I felt I gave something up, and yet he gave me the courage and his witness to choose Franciscan. It was probably one of two most important decisions I've ever made, not just for myself, but also for my siblings. I'm the oldest of four. My sister, my brother, and then my youngest sister attended. They all met their spouses there. I have 15 wonderful nieces and nephews. Two of my nephews are here today. That school transformed our family's life. And his witness was powerful. And then at the end of his sophomore year, the end of my freshman year, when he was dating a very beautiful girl that any of us, any guy on campus would have been happy to date. He had started a business. He was making enough money to pay for a year of college tuition, and there was no reason to believe that wasn't going to continue and grow. He felt the call to priesthood. He broke up with his girlfriend. He gave his business to his brother, and he went to the seminary. And that example of leaving all to follow Christ was very powerful for me when, after my graduation and a year of work, I too felt the call. And the third way, I want to honor my friend's discipleship who could not be here today, Father Jonathan Morris. Many of you know, he's regular on Fox News, Fox News analyst. He's perhaps the most visible Catholic priest in America right now. He's an author. He was the station manager of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM radio. He went to his bishop, Cardinal Dolan, and said, "I feel called to parish ministry. Please assign me to the single poorest parish in the archdiocese." And so my friend is assigned to the Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church in the Bronx in New York. And so what a witness to me, for me as a priest, and I want to honor his witness, his yes, because we need a band of brothers. Bishop Olmsted speaks about that in his book. We need brothers in Christ who will show us what it looks like to say yes so that we can also make that yes. And other men in our lives are depending on our yes so that they can make that yes in theirs. Father Jonathan Morris had sent a bunch of books ahead of him expecting to be here. They're over on the other side of that wall. All of the proceeds of the books that he has shipped to us, The Promise, God Wants You to Be Happy, and The Way of Serenity, a New York Times bestseller, all of the proceeds will go to his parish, arguably one of the poorest in the Archdiocese of New York. We'll just take a moment now to think about then the sacrament of confession. The nice thing is the deacon made my job very easy, all right? So, I mean, when he was talking, I was like, "Lord, thank you," all right? So basically what I want to say is if you didn't get it after the deacon's talk, you're not going to get it, okay? Because I can't equal that, all right? That was amazing. He told us why to go to confession. I want to share a story, though. I think in analogies, so here's an attempt. I was a priest in St. Rose in New Lexington, spent 3 great years in the Perry County Consortium of Catholic Churches before I have my great assignment now, Blessed Sacrament in Newark, Ohio. And during that time, just random, I noticed my knee was itching. And being a typical guy, I ignored that and just kind of whatever went on. A couple weeks went by, this itchy knee, never really cared about it other than itched it every so often. Didn't look at it. And then one day I was at a parishioner's house, I was seated, and I noticed my right knee, the pants all around my right knee were completely soaked from what I figured was a pretty bad infection that I had ignored. So I thought, well, maybe I should go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor, and he said, "Oh, this is not good." He said, "Your knee is very infected, and if the infection gets into the joints," he said, "then we're going to battle to save your leg." And I was like, whoa, it was just an itchy knee. So he gave me some antibiotics, and then he wrote a prescription, which was the single greatest prescription I've ever received. He said, "I want you to sun your knee." So my prescription was to go outside and to sun my knee. So I showed it to my pastor, showed it to the office staff, so they knew I wasn't just being some lazy priest in the middle of the day. Put on my shorts, got a beach chair, got a good book, Lord of the Rings, and went out and read. What's the analogy? Our sins are that infection. My knee infection probably started with a spider bite. That might be original sin, that thing that we got by virtue of our first parents, forgiven at our baptism, but yet we still have the consequences of that sin in concupiscence, our tendency to sin. But my own negligence had contributed to this infection. Our sins are an infection. To sun the knee, to bring our sins into the light. Jesus Christ is the light who heals the wound of sin in our life. And so in confession, we need to bring our sins into the light. We've heard very clearly today the reality of Satan. He wants to keep our sins in the darkness, to expose our sins to the light. And the humility of confessing our sins is the way to peace, restoration, healing, forgiveness. And so you have that opportunity today. Before my time is up, just a couple more things I want to point out. One is the document that you've received from Bishop Olmsted, Into the Breach. Now, I'm going to do something that Father Larry would do. I'm going to make you all promise to read the document. All right? You remember him from last year. So I want you to raise your right hand and say, I will read this document. Repeat after me. I will read this document. Thank you. It's 1 hour. This is the battle plan for us as men. And he talks about the church as a battle college instructing us. And we need this document. And as you read this document, then you need to implement it by seeking brothers in your life so that you can wage the battle together. But he speaks as well in this document about the analogy Pope Francis has given us, the church as a field hospital. And so as we are called to engage in spiritual battle, to into the breach, a breach, a gaping hole in a fortification, as men, as we are called to go into that battle and not run from it, we first acknowledge our own wounds, our own sins. And so we need healing in this field hospital for battle that is the church. And the sacrament of confession is the primary means by which we experience that, of course, after our baptism. And this is part of our life, so that we can enter into that battle with that chainmail complete and not with gaping holes. Another analogy for us today, as we are called to be soldiers of Christ. I also want to point your attention to this very complete, very helpful guide to confession, published by the Fathers of Mercy. This will be the complete guide. This is everything you need to know. If at the end of the day, we've heard the importance of confession, you have one book in your life, of course it's the Bible. If you have one single sheet of paper in your life in addition to the Bible, I would say this is the single most important sheet of paper you could ever have. And so I encourage you to hold on to this, to use it. You'll find in this sheet of paper a guide of how to go to confession. You'll find a prayer before confession, which we will pray together. And in that prayer, you will find the importance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has said, the Spirit will lead us into all truth. The Spirit will convict us of sin. So all morning, as you heard the deacon and then Father Stosh, as you heard those things in your heart, that was the Holy Spirit convicting you of sin and leading you into all truth. And now your opportunity to go to confession is the response to the Holy Spirit in your life. The opportunity to confess your sins, to take ownership and responsibility for your actions before God, and to experience His mercy. So everything you need to know is here. And everything the deacon, everything I wanted to say, the deacon did. So anyway, it's making my life very easy right now in my pinch-hitting role. Just a couple of practical things. To make a good confession, complete, not withholding anything because of shame, the priests have heard it all. And it's all sealed under the sacrament of confession. If you're not a Catholic or, for whatever reason at this time, not able to experience the sacrament, you're welcome to acknowledge that to the priest and seek his blessing. Contrite, sorrow for sin. Perfect contrition, Lord, I'm sorry because it offends you who are all good. Imperfect contrition, Lord, I'm sorry because I fear the pains of hell. Sorrow for sin, whatever that is. And part of contrition, a firm purpose of amendment. I intend to never sin again. satisfaction to fulfill our penance. And in that as well, we might add today, succinct. Okay, there's almost 3,000 of you and 60 of my brother priests. You don't have to go into a lot of details. When I was in college on a Friday night, hanging out with my friends in the fraternity, blah, blah, blah. Just name it. It's all you got to do. And some kind of description of frequency. Over many years, one time, three times. Some idea that the priest knows what it is, in fact, he is forgiving. What God is forgiving through him. So don't be overly vague either. Clear, succinct, complete, contrite. That is how we make a good confession. And most importantly, that we turn and ask the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so I invite you to take out your sheet of paper, the examination of conscience for adults and teens. And in that, on the front page, at the very bottom of the folder there, you'll see prayer before confession. I invite you to join me in asking the Holy Spirit, who has been working so powerfully already this morning, to continue to convict us of sin and to lead us into all truth, so that we might be healed and strengthened, and that we might take our place in the huge breach in our culture and in our lives, if we're honest, where sin is pouring in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Together. Come, Holy Spirit, enlighten my mind that I may clearly know my sins. Move my heart that I may be sincerely sorry for them, honestly confess them, and firmly resolve to amend my life. Spirit of wisdom, grant me to see the malice of sin and my ingratitude toward you, the all-loving God. Spirit of fortitude, help me to make whatever sacrifice is needed to avoid sin in the future. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.